Hello and welcome to Awakenings. I'm your host, Michelle Mache, and I hope you're having a wonderful day. I'm giving a gong for Friday. It's a wonderful Friday today. And I hope all is in a wonderful flow with all of you that are tuning in and listening to Awakenings. Those of you just tuning in for the first time or coming in the chat for the first time, the call-in number is 347-539-5122, 347-539-5122, and really like people coming in the chat, a lot of people starting to come in already, which is great. Sylvia and Kathy, hello Kathy, Authentic Coach, who else is in here? Oh, lots. Hello everyone. And welcome. Welcome to this converging flow that we are all co-creating here. And we've got a caller on the line, and we will get to callers in a little bit. We've got a lot of stuff to jump in and cover. Something you're going to notice this month and going on, I'm getting quite a few astrologers. A couple weeks I'll have a medical intuitive also on. Next week somebody working more with actually body, mind, spirit, and actually even nutrition. And part of the focus is right now is to prepare for the next gateway that's coming up. There, I do have one page on my website that goes into a little more detail about the gateway portal of light. Some of you have heard me talk about this phenomenon on the radio here on Awakenings before or other shows that I've been on, but since the harmonic convergence of 87, 88, late 87 or late 88, we have been in a quickening. And the quickening, though, in the beginning was longer intervals and not as intense, or if there was an intensity in the quickening, it just lasted for a short period of time. But what's really happening, since we are in this evolutionary expansion, we're really at the tipping point right now in many ways in our awareness and consciousness and our focus of moving out of limited consciousness and moving more into self-expression, creative expression, living more productively, moving into simultaneous time, which I've been living in that space, so many of you that are listening have also, but really, again, when I'm talking about the changes, I'm talking about what's been affecting many of us on the fringe, what's been affecting small pockets is now affecting people more and more and more and more, more and more in the mainstream. And it's like a wonderful channeler, Sophia, which actually is also going to be on my back on Awakenings at some point, mentioned, she said, Michelle, you're working with the more advanced souls, the more advanced, I shouldn't say souls, beings, more the light workers, the way showers that have been doing the personal work or have woken up and are doing the personal work and wanting to share, wanting to be of service or in a transition and in wanting more fulfillment in their life, and you know that the mainstream, the rest, the tipping point will handle them, but that the way showers, the light beings, the clear light workers, those that are working more in service, and that doesn't mean that you're only working for the collective. That means that whatever you're doing, whether it's your art, you know, or your music, whether you're a coach or an intuitive or whatever, a mother, a father, you know, brother, it's not so much the role, it's the consciousness. So if this converging flow is really about supporting those and infusing those that already their DNA and energetic encoding has been decoded more quickly. It's been slow, it's been little by little, and some of you it's been boom, a big bang, a big gong, right? Great idea for a show on tools. Yes, yes, Debbie, I'm going to mention that. I am going to start at least, you know, weekly or every couple of weeks really focusing on the tools for the self-development, spiritual integration and transition, and even doing group healing And inviting all of you to share your tools and actualize more. So really looking at what have we been realizing, what have we all been individually and collectively realizing and understanding, and now how do you want to live that? How do you want to now shift your life to reflect more of your inner consciousness, your inner state of being? And that's what this push is, which started in 2003 but intensified in 2008. Like I was saying earlier, it actually started right at the harmonic convergence of 88, and we've had waves. 98, 99, we had a wave. 2001, we had another wave. And then from 2003 to 2012, excuse me, where are we going on that? 2003 to 2005, we had the quickenings began to be quicker. They were before every 2-3 years, 4 years, then we went into every two and a half years. Now we have the quickening twice a year, every November, December, and every May, June. And what you can do is you can track the global and elemental changes every May, June, and November, December from 2003, and you will see that we have had some type of transition, transformation with the elements that has been very intense, and it will have included water, air, fire, or earth. So you can track this, and people have been tracking this astrologically. Through aspects, some people have tracked it, through mundane and esoteric astrology. Some people have tracked it through pinpointing the aspect to the galactic center. Greg Braden, as well as others, but track it through the Earth's gravitational pull and how the Earth and we are becoming more magnetic, and the axis is actually shifting. So. What's fun is you can really do research, whether it's through other people you talk to, books, or online. You can begin to see that whether we're talking numerically as in numerology or astrology, or we're talking by starseed downloads or transmissions of channeling, you will be able to track these changing flows. Now, a lot of people ask me, they say, was there going to be something cataclysmic happening? No. But there's pockets of shifting. What I can tell you is between now and 2012, the pockets will happen definitely in those elemental realms, earth, air, fire, and water. So, another show will get all into that, but actually what that has to do with is the components of us. We are earth, air, fire, and water. And in fact, you can look at that through the tarot. You can look at that through also astrology, right? So it all fits together. You begin to see the patterns. Those of you that were on the show last Wednesday, we had Dougie Slapp, of course, on, and we also had Josie Kelly, who is a teacher, but she's also an amazing stockbroker and amazing trader, and she tracks the patterns of what's going on in the earth changes, world changes, internationally and globally via the stock market, and she's dead on. And what's interesting is I was sharing with her what I was just sharing with you about when these changes happened with the harmonic convergence, and she tracked the exact changes. She had them tracked by doing her technical support, but there was the exact same time frame. She said in 88 there was this Black Monday where, the stock market really crashed. That's when the harmonic convergence was. Then in 98 to 99, just like I said, there was another major transition, and then 2003 to 2005, and now 2008 we have where we're at. What does this mean? Is everything going to fall apart? Is there doom and gloom? No. It's shifting. There's redirecting of energy. These are all ways that the universal consciousness of the all that is, which is us, is ushering in more expansion, more creativity. But for many in the mainstream and many structures in the society and in the world, these changes won't come about unless there is some kind of rumbling or discomfort, which brings us to today, that we're going to be focusing on, so we're going to look astrologically at some of these patterns, which a huge one that's coming in. We're going to be moving out of Pluto in Sag, moving into Pluto in Capricorn. And our guests will be able to tell us more about this, but just to give a little bit of a heads up, you know, Sagittarius is doing with philosophies, higher mind wisdom, but Capricorn is actually dealing with structure. So that gives you an idea, structure and institutions, foundation. So some structures have to change. And there's ways that we can all bridge this change point that's happening. This is another thing I want to share, is that it doesn't have to be a complete breakdown if you work with the energy of the cycle. That's what psychic work is about. That's what channeling is about, numerology, astrology, tarot, any kind of oracle or divination tool is so that you can be proactive or empowered in working with the cycle. I say it's like a raincoat. You get the weather report and it says it's going to be raining, it's going to be storming. It's up to you if you want to bring an umbrella, or you want to just wear a hat, or do you want to wear a raincoat, or maybe you just don't care and you're like, whatever, I'm going to go out there in the rain. So, you know, we have our own empowerment, our own choice in how we handle these transitions. One thing that really helps and keeps our vibrational frequency up and being able to manage, as I've said before, things like emotional clearing work, repatterning, meditation, and convening like we all are here, and sharing. You know, this show is not so much about me talking. Maybe I'm the one talking right now and talking a lot, but it's really about all of you, collectively, your energy, and you sharing your gifts with each other. I had a wonderful email this morning from someone that said that they feel so much healing energy in the chat room, and that Awakenings has this wonderful energy, and that there's amazing healers in the chat room, which is true. So, you know, whether you're saying something or not in the chat room, just by you being there, those that are you listening by phone or on the click to listen, your consciousness is in this converging flow. So it's not what we're doing externally, it's what is our consciousness. And so to me, that's really what Awakenings is about. So today we are going to be talking with astrologer, numerologist, she's also a psychic and a hypnotherapist. She has a lot of tools in her tool kit, if you will. But mainly today we're going to be focusing on astrology and looking at Pluto and Capricorn, and how is it affecting you individually? How is it affecting the collective, but how are you being affected individually? As well as towards the end of the program, we are going to do some astro dice readings, which is fabulous. She is like so on it with the astro dice. Whenever I've gotten a reading from her, I'm just always amazed. But it's also because she's a really fantastic astrologer. They kind of, you know, obviously astro dice, astrology that goes together. So I really want to give a warm welcome to Diane Lerner. Hi, Diane.
Hi, Michelle.
Great to connect with you. And caller number one that's on the line, we will be getting to you in a little bit. And Diane, it's so great to have you here. I love the way you explain things, so I'm glad you agreed to come back.
Well, it's a pleasure to be on your show, and I agree with your caller this morning. The energy on your show is what we need at this time, so I'm happy to be a part of it, and I'm happy to be sharing, so thank you.
Good. And I'm just going to put, because people can contact you after this, she took out a Blog Talk account just for us, everyone.
Yeah.
So it'll be easier for people to connect with you if they have further questions or want a further reading. So let's jump in a little bit here. What's happening now with this? We talked Pluto and Sag, and of course we're going to be connecting also, because individual, where it is for individuals, but also collective, meaning the government, what's happening with
right.
the election,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah.
But let's touch a little bit on where we're at as we're exiting Pluto and Sag and going into Pluto and Capricorn. What does this mean?
Well, first of all, Michelle, just to kind of give a little background for those who are perhaps new to astrology, Pluto is our most slowest moving planet in the constellations there, and it wants to transform by dismantling and rebuilding at a core level.
Mm.
So there's a process involving upheaval and unfolding over a long period of time.
Mm.
Again, Pluto is the slowest moving planet of the zodiac. So we want to also keep in mind that its goal is to evolve and to empower.
Mm, okay.
Power. We want to move more into our power. It wants to.
Okay. Now, Diane, we're getting a. Can you speak up or put the phone closer to you?
I know. Oh, can you hear me now?
Yeah, better. Better.
Okay. Should I repeat any of that?
Yeah, but well, you were saying basically upheaval, but also Pluto.
Upheaval and unfolding over a long period of time.
Okay.
So we want to keep in mind that the goal is to evolve and to empower with Pluto.
Okay.
And Pluto is basically showing us what is under the radar.
Okay. Okay.
So now Pluto has been in the sign of Sagittarius. It's actually finishing up right now. It's in the final stages of it. And technically, it will move to Capricorn on November 27th, which it will be there until November of 2024. So we've got a huge time span we're talking about here, about 16 years. So as it's finishing up Pluto in Sag right now, as you were mentioning, we've experienced a lot of exposures and truths being revealed.
Mm-hmm.
And Sag is very connected to our beliefs and philosophies, including religion, as well as foreign relations.
Mm.
So now when we shift to Capricorn, it's a good idea to see it as a continuum.
Okay.
It helps us to correlate with the current acceleration of the planet that we're in right now, which is our spiritual awakening and the quickening that you were just talking about. Also, Pluto is now in Capricorn, which is the 10th sign of the zodiac. So,
okay.
So since there's only 12 energies or archetypes in astrology, we've evolved to a point of time where larger issues are now the focus.
And you're saying that because it's the tenth.
Correct.
Okay.
The 10th house connected to the 10th sign
mm-hmm.
of Capricorn. So we're covering a vaster and a more universal group when we're dealing with Capricorn. And so it's a progression.
Mm-hmm.
Can I shoot
a little something in there because
sure.
It also deals with everyone. You know, a lot of people think that there's only 7 main chakras. There's actually 49 main. Well, there's 12 main ones, but in esoteric vibrational energy, it moves out to the 49, and then it's infinite. Everywhere there's an intersection of energy and light is a chakra. So it's interesting what you're saying that it's the 10th we've moved out. So the 10th house relates to the 10th chakra.
Ah,
which
good
is,
point. I like that.
Yeah.
That's another good thing to keep in mind.
Which is groups, which is the group focus or an awareness
yes.
of the humanity. So interesting that you so you're saying because Pluto and Capricorn, so 10th house things would be highlighted?
Yes. It's actually a very focal house. if you know the astrology chart, houses at the bottom of the hemisphere, houses 1 through 6, govern a more personal realm. And then we move above the hemisphere, houses 7 through 12, which do correlate to the 7 through 12 signs,
mm-hmm.
We're dealing with a more public social arena, so more out in the community. And 10th house specifically, Capricorn ruling the 10th house, very much is dealing with our public identities, our public image. And very much, you know, the public at large, which I'll elaborate on here in a minute. So, yes, now we're looking at what does Pluto want to transform and empower at a core level?
Mm-hmm.
That's the question we're looking at with Pluto and Capricorn. Now, Capricorn is an earth sign. So it's going to put us more in touch with the mundane. Now, when Pluto was in Sag, the issues were more abstract. And now with an earth sign energy, we're dealing more with the physical. So we're on a more tangible level.
So Pluto in Sag was like the philosophy and religion being restructured.
Exactly.
And I find it interesting we have these kind of religious wars and debates, right?
Yes.
And philosophy, my religion is better than your religion, and,
mm-hmm.
you know, back and forth, and, you know.
Exactly.
And no offense, I have a couple of friends that are, Muslim, Islamic, and they're, Rumi, the mellow ones, but I really didn't even know much about that religion. Now it's like, okay, it's everywhere because of, you know, so there's awareness, even though it came out of a not so great situation.
Exactly. That's perfect. There's an upheaval. It creates an unsettledness. But at the same time, it allows us to expand, which is the nature of Sag, is to expand and broaden our perspective, broaden the spectrum, which entails, you know, moving into perhaps a place of discomfort for a little bit. But at the same time, it opens up for the newness. To create space for the new.
Okay.
So now specifically, we're now going to see the results of Pluto in Sag, meaning it taking a new form for us. So with the revealed truths and the new philosophies, that openness from Pluto in Sag, we now get to see how that might take a new form for us. So Pluto in Capricorn wants to form new structures, new foundational structures.
Okay.
Now, looking at it on a collective level, we're looking at everything representing authority, which includes government and political structures, banks, the status quo of our society, hence, you know, the image that our country is presenting itself, how it's presenting itself, which, of course, we're already seeing it in the economy, the exposure of corporate greed, economic injustices, our financial relationship with foreign countries. I see the Pluto in Sag as a dismantling of indulgences, moving towards a more Aquarian philosophy.
Okay.
We've already started to see that.
Yeah, well, which sign is going to bring the indulgences back? That's all I want to know.
What is it?
What sign is going to bring the indulgences back?
Good question. That could take a little time, but everything is cyclical, right?
Right, yeah.
Another area, again, kind of looking at the continuum and keeping in mind the Pluto in Sag, religion is ruled by Sag. Mm-hmm. And so with churches, we might see a movement towards a more Unitarian belief system, which would include more tolerance, more compassion, and as you were just mentioning, you know, just including other belief systems.
So this transformation is about us including more belief, being more tolerant of others' beliefs?
Yeah, I think that's what the Pluto in Sag was about, is us just bringing in that higher consciousness of Sag, bringing in a more openness, a more tolerance and compassion,
mm-hmm.
you know, for others. Again, which is, you know, moving towards that more elevated consciousness, the Aquarian age.
Okay.
Now, on a personal level, we're looking at our careers, our status in the world, how we earn a living. And since we're moving in more alignment with a higher consciousness, we will be looking more at what psychologically is fulfilling. Remember, Pluto is very psychological.
Mm-hmm. So now, career, what else?
Well, it's career, it's our standing in the world.
Okay.
You know, it's us on a practical level presenting ourselves in a way that is going to be more fulfilling. Mm-hmm. Based upon what we have gained thus far, looking at in our meditations and in our reflections and our journaling, you know, what is unfolding for me? What is it that's going to take me to a new level in my career or in my standing in the world that incorporates some of these new philosophies, some of these new tolerances that we've introduced or we've gained from the Pluto and Sag? Does that make sense?
Yeah. Now, what's interesting to me, because I, of course, look, I like, when I hear the astrologer speak, and I like to bring it back to what I receive from transmissions and in channelings, and many of people that have been listening to Awakenings have heard me keep saying new forms, people need to get, we need to get our new ways of self-expressing out, new forms,
yeah.
new vocations, new careers. Would this fit in with Pluto and Capricorn? Because Capricorn rules form, right? It rules
Exactly. Oh, definitely. And you know, utilizing tools also, you know, it's a more practical, hands-on energy with Capricorn.
Okay.
It wants to do things that are going to manifest.
Mm-hmm.
And just because of where we are at, you know, consciously, it's just kind of a natural progression with Pluto and Capricorn. It's, okay, now we've kind of dismantled some of these, you know, outdated or rigid belief systems or moving out of the fear mode. You know, how do I now want to start to show this in my life in a practical way? Capricorn is very practical. You know, it's very much the sign that's grounded in terms of being responsible and organized. And we can also use those characteristics, those Capricorn traits more now, in terms of, you know,
also
bringing it into our career and our structure
mm-hmm.
in whatever capacity.
Yeah, I would say for those that are listening, and I know because I love tracking patterns and kind of following the flow, to me what I hear in this and what I've been focusing on is with Pluto and Sag is how have I shifted? What beliefs
mm-hmm.
are I, right, no longer
exactly.
And then also for me, Pluto and Capricorn, how do I now want to live? How do I want to structure my life? What kinds of things do I want to be focused on? So it really has, to me, a lot to do with lifestyle and career. What else would be there that people would be looking at with Pluto and Capricorn individually, asking themselves in their life? Structure to transform. Good point, Vina Blue. Using structure to transform. Yeah, how would you do that? Like, so building a different structure, perhaps, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, on a personal level, it's going to be something that kind of manifests over time.
Okay.
But, because again, it's Pluto is going to be in Capricorn for 16 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it will make aspects to, you know, people's charts individually, which will highlight certain areas more than others. Everyone has their own unique path. But in terms of working with this energy, it's going to be a process, first of all. And the style of Capricorn is to create a goal. The mountain goat is the symbol. So, you know, they have a focus, they have a goal, and they remain inspired and focused on that goal until they achieve it. And then in terms of each individual, it still has a lot to do with where they're at on their level of growth, you know, their soul's evolution.
Mm-hmm.
Now
Saturn, because when I hear Capricorn, I think of persistent effort, because doesn't Saturn rule Capricorn, which is
yes.
time and patience and all that kind of stuff?
Exactly. Yeah, it's definitely a more practical, down-to-earth, style,
mm-hmm.
and it wants, it's kind of a no-nonsense sign, actually. You know, it's able to discern and kind of weed out what isn't useful and really hone in on, the core issue.
Mm.
It will really depend upon the person and where they're at, but I think just being in that place of being receptive,
mm-hmm.
because it's like the energy is already out there,
mm-hmm.
And if you're working with it, in time it will align and things will fall into place.
Okay. So it, again, it's like working with the energy. So I would say people need to ask, if they know their chart, where is Capricorn,
mm-hmm.
what house, where is it? Or if you don't know your chart, kind of just, you know, do a contemplative meditation and just kind of look around your life and see, you know, where do I need more structure? Or is there too much structure? Do I have an old, you know, is my structure foundation old? Am I doing what I really want to do in my life? You know, Sylvia mentioned in the chat room, is it building new structures? And I would say it's also transitioning, right? From sometimes.
Yeah, and it's also too, you know, Capricorn, the style is one of contemplation. It's patient,
mm-hmm.
you know, being patient, loving and compassionate with yourself first,
mm-hmm.
and seeing, you know, what have I learned here with this Pluto and Sag? You know, what are some of the new findings?
Mm-hmm.
How do I want to integrate that into my career or just my lifestyle in general?
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's this time of transition, there's going to be chaos all around us, so we need to be, first of all, comfortable with the unknown,
mm-hmm.
and always come back to the big picture, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Aquarian, and know we're moving out of this fear-based consciousness. So doing the inner work,
mm-hmm.
I think, is a great start. Clearing the emotional body and working with the positive energy during this time of acceleration. And just knowing that, you know, the universe is supporting you in doing this work. So
mm-hmm.
The last thing you would want to do is resist,
mm-hmm.
right? You don't want to contribute to the chaos by resisting.
Right.
But just really honing in, you know, doing the inner work, doing the journaling, because the more clear you are, the more you're going to move right, or it's a quickening, right? The quicker you're going to move into that realm of, you know, what you're here to do.
Right.
You're here to contribute.
Now, someone is asking in regards to moving. Would you want to move in this kind of cycle? I guess if it would...
Possibly.
Possibly.
Oh, yeah. Possibly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, it would depend on, you know... well, maybe we can get into some of that with the questions. You
okay.
Because it's going to be individual.
We'll do...
So, yeah, you could certainly move. That's certainly a new structure.
Peak, yeah, or who asked that? I think it was Peak. That would be a good one for the Astro Dice, so hold
mm-hmm.
on to that... Don't leave the chat. Hold on to the question.
Hold that thought.
Hold that thought. Yeah, it's a good one to do with the dice, actually.
Yeah, yeah. There's, you know, there's also going to be some other aspects that will be made to Pluto and Capricorn that will have an impact on the way we experience it. I'll just mention a couple of those. In May of 2010, Uranus will move into Aries.
Okay.
And it's going to make a square to the Pluto and Capricorn. And so when you think about those two energies, you know, Uranus wants to liberate, and Aries kind of has this way of defying authority. So I feel like that's probably going to add a little more force,
mm-hmm.
And probably will just bring in more challenge on the power level, but it also will bring in more focus to reestablishing these new structures.
Mm-hmm.
But that's another little influence that will be playing a part, but that one won't start until about 2010, in May of 2010. But that one, too... has a lot to do with the leadership. You know, Aries is the sign of leadership. It's also the pioneer. And when you combine it with Uranus, I think that will be a time where we have more, or we'll have a lot of input of innovative and creative ideas, lots of breakthroughs.
Mm-hmm.
So that will add a little something. And then also, there'll be a Jupiter-Neptune conjunction in Aquarius in May of next year.
And what should people do with that?
Well, that one is going to just energetically bring in more of the kind of the idealism, Mm-hmm. Both of those planets tend to deal with expansion and idealism, so it just adds support to moving into the Aquarium, the Aquarian age.
Mm-hmm.
So those are just some asides that will kind of support the Pluto and Capricorn one way or another. And then, let's see what else.
Now, one thing I wanted to ask then, because I put down with the leadership, with the restructuring with Pluto, my sense is also, because you said it's more above the bottom half of the chart, it's kind of about our coming out more in our own life, right? And my sense is asking each other, how can you be a leader in your own life? You know, how can you?
Yeah. Oh, that's
right.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And you know, Capricorn or the 10th house is very much about authority, as I was saying. So you know, or individually being your own authority. You know, how you want to present yourself as your own authority.
Mm-hmm. See, I see this as so critical, and it's so, you know, I love to hear it with the astrology, how just the different forms and different messengers that are out there speaking this, is the call really is for us to embrace the truth of who we are and really live it more fully, really to get, you know, because we've kind of been taught in the old paradigm to kind of hang back in our life, you know, to not really shine.
Right.
And now with the advent of this Aquarian age, it's really about self-expression, not at the expense of the whole or the collective or, you know, or the group, but that it's okay to have tolerance for the group, even though some people perhaps don't seem to fit in. I go back to that universal law, the loving law of allowance, just to allow and shine, just outshine, just create. This is a...
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. Oh, yes. And, you know, it's just, to some degree, I can see, and this may sound like I'm pointing a finger here in judgment, you know, our government has control when... we are like sheep,
right?
For
okay.
lack of a better term. And when we move into our own, just more awareness, you know, when we do elevate, it moves us into a place of power. And it's going to be fulfilling for everyone all around. It's healthier.
Now, how do you see this affecting... because we're looking individual, but the collective, if you look at the government and, of course, Barack, McCain, Palin.
Yes. Yes. Well, it's not a coincidence that we're presented with new choices in leaders at this time with new styles. I mean, think about it. In perfect sync with what's going on, right? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it has been predicted by some that Barack Obama will win the presidency. We'll see very soon. but astrologically, even numerologically, I was looking at that a little bit earlier as well, there are things that would support that prediction. You know, we did the session a few weeks ago where I looked at Barack and McCain's charts. And the thing that stood out with Barack is he really seems to represent someone who's who has a more progressive or universal philosophy. Again, he's got that Aquarius rising. But what I appreciated the most about his chart is an aspect that gives him the ability to integrate and synthesize polarities. And I mentioned this before because it was a highlight, which basically is, you know, being able to see the big picture. And just having a broader spectrum. And he also has a big emphasis on international relations, which I just read somewhere that when he was in college, he majored in political science with an emphasis on international relations. And there's even an aspect in his chart that points to that as well in terms of international relations with his ninth house. So in essence, I just feel like he's compatible, so to speak, with the spiritual awakening of our times right now.
So he's fitting in more.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's just, again, part of the change, quote unquote, that is, you know, going on. So another thing that I mentioned, or I haven't mentioned actually, I don't think I did when we talked about the two candidates before, numerologically, the United States of America chart, America's chart, our country's chart, is going to be moving into a 22-4 year in July of next year. And Barack just moved into a 22-4 on his birthday.
Wow, that's a master number.
And that's a master number that represents the master builder, which is about building a foundation for the future.
Which we're all doing individually and collectively, right?
Exactly. And I thought that was another another factor that kind of supported, you know, this new style of leadership. And so we will see, but again, his chart certainly seems to correlate with the new paradigm that we're moving in.
And what do you make of Palin? Any sense?
Do you really want to know?
Trickster? Yeah, what's with this Pluto and Capricorn, how did she sneak in here?
Yeah, it's interesting. Well, you know, I haven't seen her whole chart yet because I don't think her birth time has been confirmed. I do know she's an Aquarian. I question how much of an evolved Aquarian she is. but that's just my opinion.
Yeah, that's another thing. You know, the signs can have their more evolved or expanded expression and then a more contracted or limiting, you know.
Yes. Yes, exactly. That's a good point. But yeah, I mean, I personally have not really seen why she was the choice. I mean, I'm open and I'm still observing, but right now I have a hard time with some of her beliefs.
You know, one thing I think, because and you said, you know, Pluto, the slower moving planet, you know, we don't make change going from point A to point C. There's always a middle ground. And I think as individual expressions of the all that is, of the collective or God consciousness, as we need to keep that in mind. And you can see it playing out, I think, in our society and also in this political arena, is that the old is still going out, the old paradigm. And
right.
I think she was brought in in the old mindset or paradigm. Well, she's a girl, and she's conservative, and that'll help, you know. Because the old paradigm was focused more on form versus the formless or substance. The new paradigm is that we have a higher consciousness, a more expanded consciousness that goes into new forms.
Yeah, through and through. Yeah, no, I see what you mean, and I agree. Yeah, it's just a different school.
Mm-hmm.
It's a different school of thought, and we will see.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Interesting.
So now I want to open it to anyone to see that if they have any questions. I know Vina Blue in the chat. I mean, we can tune in a little bit with the astro die or whatever we're getting.
Okay.
To see, and we can weave back into the Pluto and Capricorn and what's the individual and the collective transition. And I also want to just remind everyone that if you would like to call in with your questions, I would love to hear from you. Love to hear your voice. Love to hear the voice. Your energy. 347-539-5122 is the number. But I also hear your voice and your energy in the chat room. I really do. There's so much individual divine expressions just all shining bright. It's wonderful to see and feel. So I guess I'll open it to if anybody has any questions for the
I think one was the guy that had the question about the move.
Oh, yes. Peak, I think it was.
Is he still there? Did he leave?
If you have a question, what was the question about the move? And we can focus on that and get your name. It helps if we have the name. And then I think it was if it was a time to move.
Right, which my feeling was that would be an individual thing rather than a
collective kind of.
Collective, yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm not hearing it right now. And what about Vina Blue? Did you have a question? You mentioned about the chart. So let's see if she has a question, either calling in or putting it in the chat room. Otherwise, I'm going to ask a question because I'll get it. Well, first of all, why don't you explain the astral dice? Because I know what they are and what's the foundation of the astral dice. Since we're talking about Pluto and Capricorn, that's foundation.
Yeah.
Oh, it was Reiki. Sorry. It was Reiki asking about the move. Okay, so we'll explain a little bit about the astral dice, and then we'll start getting into readings. Yeah, Vina, if you can call in. And then Reiki, you were asking about a good time for moving. And we can look at that. But if Diane, if you can just go into a little bit about the astro dice.
Okay, so the astro dice are basically a tool for divination. And because my background is in astrology, they are a great source in that they, upon a question, will kind of tell a story. Now, there's three dice. One of them consists of the 12 houses. The second one has all of the signs, 12 signs, and then we have a third one, which includes all of the planets. So, based, and it's designed more for giving input in terms of what's around the question and how to best handle a situation rather than a yes or no.
Okay.
So we'll keep that in mind as well when we're looking up with our questions.
So Reiki is a Cancer. She's Cancerian, and he was asking about the move.
If he should make a domestic move?
Yeah, and that's the thing. Is it domestic or give us some little info either in the chat or calling
in. Domestic or business?
Is it a business move? Is it a home? A home move, and then she'll ask the dice. A home move or biz move. Okay. Well, we'll let Reiki write if you want to know about the move. Write it in because we have someone on the line now. Let's see. 619-269, you're on the air with Awakenings.
Hi, it's Vina.
Hi, Vina.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm doing great.
Vina, yes.
Hi, Diane.
Hi, Vina. Hi.
I'm really excited about this Pluto, transition into Capricorn. But it's also hitting a lot of points on my chart, and I've been dealing with kind of the retrograde back and forth over the degrees of zero. I have zero sun, zero Libra sun. And zero.
Okay. So that's going to start up pretty soon for you.
Well, yeah.
I know it started already earlier in the year, but it's going to come up again starting in December.
Yeah. And I've got
Vina, if you could speak a little louder, sweetie.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Yeah, that's good.
Can you hear me? Okay.
Yeah, perfect.
Diane, would you like me to tell you, all these points on my chart? Thank you. Okay, so my moon is zero Aries. It's exactly opposing my sun at zero Libra. And then I have Pluto at 1 degree Libra right next to the sun and Mercury right after that. And my Jupiter is at 29 Sagittarius.
Your sun is Libra at what degree?
Zero.
Zero also, zero. Okay.
Yeah, and the minutes are close too. I think it's 03 on the moon and 13 on the sun. So it's like the exact full moon moment, almost.
Okay.
And, and combined with the Pluto energy and then squaring Jupiter at 29 Sag. So I've been kind of dealing with a lot of ups and downs last year.
Yeah, would you say squaring what now? Squaring 29 Sag and Jupiter and Sag.
Jupiter, yeah.
Square.
So I have this, T-square that I've been...
Right, but see, I've got most of it. I've got your sun and your moon, and then Pluto is also at 1 degree. What was your Pluto again?
Libra.
Libra.
One Libra.
So you got a sun-Pluto conjunction opposing your moon in Aries.
Yeah, and Mercury is like at 2 Libra, but we can probably leave that out for now.
Okay.
And then
Jupiter at 29 Sag.
Yeah, so Pluto has been kind of activating all those points on me.
Yeah, you've definitely had a lot of activity in your chart. So what is your question, Dina?
I guess just anything that you might think, because I've read a lot about those aspects, and just anything that comes to your mind as far as your perspective on Pluto and how it affects, you know, my
I think, first of all, we want to keep in mind that a lot of the interpretations, Vina, that we read about are not always going to apply to us. It really depends upon our level of consciousness and where we're at. This is what we've been talking about this whole time in terms of, you know, if you've been moving in the direction of your highest good. You know, because I've read things, you know, in the textbooks that talk about gloom and doom, or they look, you know, super challenging. And then, you know, my experience could be something totally different. I mean, it's a more positive, empowering manifestation rather than, you know, what is kind of historically been the interpretation. Does that make sense? Do you know what I mean?
Like you were saying, it's either going to be, you know, if you resist the change, then you're going to go through more upheaval. And if you go with the energies more, then you're going to be more evolved and, you know.
More in tune. You'll be more in the flow, and it'll just make things easier. So a lot of it has to do, you know, with your past. But why don't I just, I can look at the dice and just kind of see generically how Pluto is going to be.
Yeah, let's do that.
Let's
do
some astro dice reading.
Yes.
Okay.
All right. Let's take a look at Vina, bringing the light for Vina. Ooh, okay. Now, Michelle, I'll fill this out since I know you're also aware. I got Sun 7th house in Aries. Sun 7th house in Aries. So now,
after night, you got the sun.
I got the sun, I got the 7th house, and I got Aries.
Okay.
Now, the 7th house, first and foremost, would make me think about relationships.
Yeah.
Your relationships and you needing to really empower, if there's the sun here, right, moving into your leadership and power with regard to relationship, which is going to bring in more balance for you.
Relationship, could that be like a...
Now, what is your relationship status at this time?
Well, I don't have a relationship, so to speak. You know, there's no.
You're not in a relationship right now.
No, yes. I mean not a business or personal or anything. I am looking for a musical partner.
Well, there it is.
Okay.
Kind of like my
but Aries
seventh house is partnership.
But to put it out there, though, right? Aries, be more proactive.
Yeah, Aries is definitely, and you know, it's in alignment too with the Pluto in Capricorn, because Capricorn is the business person, right? If you know some basic characteristics of astrology in Capricorn, Capricorn is the ambition.
My north node.
So
north node is
assertively seeking with confidence, right, the sun, in terms of, you know, this pursuing of a partnership. That's the energy you want to be moving into. That's what you want to be projecting out in terms of how to best with, deal with what's at work in your chart right now, moving into that power.
Yeah, I've been definitely feeling that lately, that I need, like, support. I need a partner. Like, I have so much great support from people online and friends and encouragement and things like that, but I really need, like, someone next to me, I feel like.
You need
inform. Not all the time.
Yeah, you know what it reminds
me. You are a Libra.
I mean, but my moon in Aries, like I've fought with that my whole life. I've always been like more focused on other people, and now I'm like more focused on myself. But it gets, you know, sometimes I feel like I still need some kind of partner, someone I can depend on.
Yeah, well, you want a balance of those two, though. I mean, you said it, you know, because when you're a Libra sun, you know, you're coming in with those wonderful gifts of, you know, dealing with people, but the Aries still needs to feel, you know, like you're focusing on being true to yourself and being a power also, you know, being that leader.
Right.
So, you know, you've got a lot of Libra, it sounds like, so you might just need to integrate and balance, keyword being balance here,
right.
So you can move into the Aries more.
Hmm.
Yeah, story of my life, basically, if that whole...
So you're needing to move more into the Aries.
Right,
yeah,
right.
That's,
yeah.
Yeah.
How,
so
okay.
Yeah,
she was saying
like
she's always giving.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I feel like the Pluto is really going to help with that. The Pluto is going to help with that.
It's going to charge you up, honey.
No. And the thing is, like, you can look at Pluto, you can look at Pluto aspects, like, and be really scared, but I'm Sun Pluto, like, by 1 degree. Like, sometimes it's kind of like, well, I've been through the deep and the dark my whole life. It's not as scary.
Me too.
Yeah.
Conjunct Pluto. And also people around.
You are a powerful person.
And people around you are naturally transformed whether they want to be or not, you know?
Which is why sometimes they don't like to be around me.
That's right. I've had that. Even in the past in dating relationships, guys are, oh, God, I'm going to change. I don't know if I want to be around you. Like, well, sorry.
Anyway, thank you so much for that. That's awesome. I wanted to get a little mini dice rating and see what came out. So.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
Yeah.
All the best, Nina.
Okay.
That's
take
great.
Take care. Thank you so much.
All right, B. Talk to you later.
Take care. Bye.
Bye. Great question. Great input.
Yeah.
Kathy in the chat room is asking, let's see, she is a Libra Scorpio cusp, but she's just wanting to ask anything about her soul. Kathy, you always ask these. She's a soulful lady. Very soulful questions. Let's see. Okay, with the astro dice, it doesn't have to be everyone. It doesn't have to be a astrological question. She's just going to use the astro dice as a tool. I'll give an example. I'll ask a question, and then we'll. What do I need to be focused on right now? So that's going to be my question. And so she's going to do the astro dice and see what comes up.
Yeah, which they're perfect for generic questions like that. So, okay, let's take a look at Michelle. Okay, guys. Okay. All right, so we've got 8th house, Mars, and Libra. So now with the Mars energy, that is saying they want you to be putting focus. And then the 8th house deals a lot with depth, psychology, which, of course, is your field of expertise. And then Libra is bringing more balance in, which is also going to be it's going to cause you to magnetize. I just kind of start telling these little stories here. I almost feel like with the 8th house, there's some sort of completion. Transition, completion, something to free you up that allows you to be more of the Libra, more of the magnetic person that you are in the community.
That's true. I'm wrapping up some stuff so I can get focus on some other projects, some audio projects, a book. There's a few things that are in the works and TV stuff.
Okay.
Would that fit?
Yeah, because the 8th house makes me feel like there's an ending or some completion. They're finishing up some stuff. And that brings in more balance, and then you become more of the magnet for the... Because Libra is very magnetic and very... what's the word? It attracts. So just, you know, it allows you to be more receptive to whatever is next in line for you.
Okay, cool. So I think people are getting this. So Sylvia...
It's also balance.
It is balance?
What
do I need the balance?
It'll allow you to avoid any extremes. When you finish up what you're doing, you're going to be in a place that maybe before you were a little bit overextending. So now you're going to have more balance when you do this.
Oh, good. Yeah. Well, I went into a major growth spur. I had a lot of projects on. So yeah. Oh, we got another call, 206544. We'll get right to you. And then we'll get to Sylvia. We're going to look at your question, too. 206544, you're on the air with Awakenings. Hello? 206544, you're on the air with Awakenings. And Diane Lerner, did you have a question? Okay, maybe they're just listening from a distance. Okay. Maybe they called in to listen. Now, Sylvia Richardson has a store of coffee and vitamins, but she's wondering, she has an online business and wondering what direction to go for business. I think that's the...
Yeah, good business question.
Okay, caller, I'll get back to you in a second because I didn't pick up. Yeah, Seagirl is, yeah, caller. Yeah, so what...
Sylvia? So she wants to... Sylvia wants to know how she should pursue her coffee and vitamin business. Is that right?
Yeah, well, maybe she said she wants to open a store. She's in coffee and vitamins. She has an online business.
Oh, okay. Opening a store.
And just connecting in with her energy, what comes up for her business-wise, I guess? Let's look at that. What comes up for Sylvia business-wise?
Okay, so in terms of what business she might want to do, pursue? Or
yeah, let's start with that.
Okay, Sylvia. Okay, so let's see. Sylvia...
What type of business? Yeah.
It shows she's very, very creative, very sensitive, but also good leadership. Let's see, what type of business is okay. Okay. I'm getting communications, something where you're expressing and relating to others in the public domain. Sun, 10th house, and Gemini is what came up.
Ooh, leader energy, writer.
Yeah,
don't hide behind those coffee and vitamins, Sylvia.
Yeah, they want you to get your talent or your self-expression out there.
Yeah, so maybe bridging. Maybe you're bridging, doing what you're doing now, but start bridging. Sun is your self-expression. What was it, 10th house and
Gemini.
Something with communication or networking.
Yeah.
Definitely
something with people, and she's got a strong sun energy. There's a leadership about her, but she's also very creative and I feel like very compassionate.
Well, see, with that Gemini, it reminds me of writing or a newsletter or a flyer, something that goes into circulation maybe. And now she's saying here she likes to write.
Okay, communications, Gemini, yeah. Mm-hmm. Creative self-expression, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
Communication, but it's something that she creatively is getting out there, something of her own,
mm-hmm.
or ideas or something of her own.
Mm-hmm. With that sun there, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and even just now, too, I got Mars 12th house in Libra.
Mm-hmm.
So the 12th house is the imagination, the creativity, and then Libra, of course, is, you know, making it more public.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so making – that's all – you guys, all of us, what you've got with that Pluto and Capricorn, whatever you're doing, you need to extend out and become more public. Now, that doesn't mean hundreds of people or thousands, but just more out there in your life. Sylvia's giving you a heads up. Total thumbs up. That's what she feels. You know, and I would say also, Sylvia, if I can interject just a quick second before we go to the caller, is that let's say if you have that online business, you can do ebooks of your poems or your writings. That can be brought into that online
mm-hmm.
business. Or if you have a freestanding, you know, boutique or business, bring in some of you in that. That's what I'm hearing in this. Bring in some of you in these other things that you're doing, right? You know, online book. Let's see, expressing and sharing more. Yeah, Put it out there. Put it more out there for others. And put, and everybody remember, Pluto in Capricorn means form. So you need to be putting these things into form. It's not to make it, let it stay in the head. You need, so that means it's
right.
some kind of form, something tangible that others can see or know about. Okay, we're going to go back to caller 206-544. You're on the line. Did you have a question? Hello, 206-544. Okay, maybe they stepped away. But if you have a question, put it in the chat. Teresa's saying to put your own signature on it. Yeah, make it unique. I like that.
Yeah, I like that too. That figures in well.
Yeah, you know, with the age of, you know, self-publishing or these audiobooks, e-books, CDs, they're very easy to do. There's a lot of ways that people can, you know, package or put what you do in a form that you can share it with others. And that's really, to me, what this Aquarian Age is about, sharing. Okay, we've got another person on the line. Hello, 847-972. You're on Awakenings with astrologer Diane Lerner. Do you have a question?
Yes, I'm actually writing a book right now, so this is very timely, and I just wanted to see what you thought.
Okay, and what's your name?
Actually, my name's Robin.
Hi, Robin. Welcome.
Hi, Robin. Okay, so you want to see what's coming up in writing your book or what advice that might be there
yeah.
for you right now?
Yeah.
Okay, let's see, Robin.
I'm looking at Sylvia. You're concentrating on a move, Sylvia. I'm going to say, yeah, move where you feel more fulfilled, where it's going to be easier for you to manifest that which is your heart's desire.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now, Robin, with the book, are you pursuing a route, because it's saying to keep pursuing, are you trying to make some connections right now? What stage are you at with your book? Because I feel like there's going to be some headway, but there's a little bit of changeability around it. But it says to keep connecting.
Well, I think you're right because, like, I just there's a bunch of stuff in my head, and I just felt this big push the last couple days to just sit down and really do it, and I felt, like, the focus of it. And so, I mean, I felt like I had to get this one part, and it may be more like a booklet than a book come out before before something else comes out.
Yeah.
I mean, I
keep
I
hearing
actually,
you've got to put it in form. I keep hearing, Rum, you got to put something down.
Yeah,
maybe
I have. Yeah, I did that today. I wrote
remember,
like
Capricorn is dutiful.
What now?
Capricorn is dutiful.
Okay.
Right? Utilizing the characteristics of Capricorn.
Okay, right, right.
As we move into that.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, I agree with Michelle, the manifestation. Because it seems like there is going to be movement, but it keeps saying to be flexible and to keep connecting or keep communicating or expressing. I guess it's keep writing, too.
Well, I write about the Akashic Records. That's what I do. Well, I access the Akashic Records, so it's that's what I'm doing. I don't know if that's the connection that you're seeing, if I have to keep connecting to that energy to let it bring it forth or connect with other people.
Or if it's actually in the world. Okay. Well, that clarifies it a little bit. Let's see.
I think I have a Capricorn ascendant, so that might be. I don't know if that's helpful.
Well, it says to be tenacious. So, again, it's Taurus came up. Mercury, fifth house in Taurus, which Taurus, like Capricorn, is an earth sign. And fifth house is your expression, Mercury. So you do want to keep, I think you probably want to do both because you want to get it out there. You want to bring it into form as
mm-hmm.
well as, how long have you been doing the actual writing part?
Well, it's, you know, it's been slow and in dribs and drabs, but today, it was just yesterday and today, I just sat down and I really, like I said, I just felt like this rush just come through me. I couldn't do anything else mm-hmm. but write. And
okay.
So that's
go
what,
with that,
you know,
for sure.
Yeah. So I just wanted to mm-hmm. see where it was headed, if there was anywhere, anything else I just needed to do other than just keep writing.
I think it's just, it's keep writing, but you definitely want to keep that form, the manifestation of the goal, you know, again, utilizing the Capricorn energy. Keep going deeper. And I'd say keep doing and keep connecting. It's just, yeah, just keep pursuing it.
Okay. Well, that's
like
helpful.
That.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you.
Okay.
All right.
Good luck. Thank you.
Thanks
Robin.
A lot. All right. Great show,
thank
guys.
Thank you.
Okay.
Good
bye.
To connect with you, Robin.
Oh, you too. Bye.
Good to connect. Bye. Okay. Now, Kathy does have a question. Will my son's court date at the end of this month go well? He's a Scorpio. So we'll ask with the astro dice. Kathy,
what's
the son's name? Kathy, what's your son's name? If you can let me know, that would be great. She's in the chat room, so.
Okay. Now I'll look and try to see the outcome, because remember it doesn't do yes or no's, but I'll just kind of see what her son's outcome will be with the court date. How's that?
Yeah, that's good.
Okay.
What will the outcome be? Or even sometimes, how will he feel about it?
Right. Exactly. That's a telltale sign. Okay, Kathy's son.
And it's Rusty.
Oh, his name is Rusty?
Rusty is his name.
Okay. Ah, okay. Eighth house, Neptune, Aquarius. How is Rusty going to feel with them?
Guy's getting a peek in the
mind.
Go ahead.
Huh?
Go ahead. What was it?
Well, I'm getting a mixture. On the one hand, it might be a little different. I got 7th house Uranus and Cancer. So that makes me feel like it might be a little different than what he's expecting it to be. And I feel like there's going to be some sort of compensation he's going to have to make. What were you going to say, Michelle?
Well, yeah, that mixed feelings about the way that it comes. I wouldn't say bad, but I wouldn't say totally good. There may
yeah.
be something that he has to do,
yeah.
and it might require something monetarily.
Almost like community or community service or something.
Community service, or yeah.
So it's a mixed bag. It's not. He's not completely free of it. There's some. He's going to have to compensate somehow, or there's going to be some ramification. But it doesn't look extreme. I agree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that. Now, someone is. I want to address something because I love this. That someone, at spiritual pilot, saying that as we progress along the road of self-realization, we individually. I can't see the rest in the chat, but outgrow our star sign. I think, and then you can speak to this. A lot of people think that our the chart. It means you're fated or fixed. It's just a filtering or a coloring with the type of energy that you came in with, and
yeah,
right.
Yeah, and it,
pattern.
And we do, yeah, there's different takes on this, but it's been said by astrologers that we actually move into our rising sign over time, that we mature into our rising sign.
Mm-hmm.
Our sun sign is just a very limited aspect of our whole selves, of our totality, and as you've heard us talk, you know, there's other planetary influences that definitely, you know, can modify our sun sign. But another factor that comes into play is what's called progressions. And, for example, looking just at the sun sign, we move into three signs. We progress into three signs in a lifetime. So your progressed sun, for example, like let's say I'm a Pisces. Right now my progressed sun is in Taurus.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of giving us the psychological undertone of where we're at in our lifetime. So, yeah, we're not limited to our sun sign by any means.
Yeah. It's so true. People, because if people say, yeah, he resonates with that. some people say, oh, you're, you know, because somebody says, oh, you're a Virgo, so you're very picky, very discriminating, and Virgo rules service, so you may not have that, or you're going to be clean. I've met a lot of Virgos that are not very, that are very messy, so it doesn't.
Oh, right.
You know,
yeah. You get that label.
Yeah. So it you can tap into Virgo as the constellate is the constellation of Virgo. Sirius is in there, which is that dog star of service, loyalty. So mm-hmm. there's so many different ways to look at it. Now, one person saying, how do you find out about your rising sign? So you have to have your chart done, right?
You have to have your time of birth, and the city and state, but mainly the time is the most important in order to erect a natal chart, which tells the whole story, including your rising sign.
Mm-hmm. Which you can do that if they, you know, contact
yeah,
you.
That's what I do. That's what I do is I interpret natal charts. So anyone that wants to get their chart done, give me a call.
Good. Or Sirius. Sirius. Yes, yeah, Sirius and Sirius. I find it interesting that the Sirius communications is that dog star, you know, the XM Sirius.
Yeah.
And here we are moving into that space of the individual expressing and experiencing in service to the greater good. And also, doggy beings have become more prevalent and more connected. Okay, now Avina has a question here. What if you have so many aspects to your sun? Do you need to get through that before you can move into your rising sign? Ooh, that's a good... Yeah.
You need to...
Like, if you have so many aspects to your sun, so much...
Natally. Meaning things you came in with.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, I see having a lot of aspects to your sun, I see as, or I interpret that as being someone who has different facets to their personality. But I don't know if I would say that you're going to have a harder time moving into your rising because of that.
So it's not so black and white then?
No, it's not.
Okay.
No.
So what would it mean if someone has a lot of aspects to their sun? Because since the sun for everybody represents your sense of self, kind of, right?
Right. Your sun sign is your biggest influence when we're looking at the natal chart. And the aspects to the other planets just kind of give us some other dimensions to your personality. Usually if you have a lot of them, it would suggest that you're someone who's pretty versatile,
mm-hmm.
Depending upon if they're challenging or not. But, you know, it's hard to say until I see the whole chart. But yeah, to answer the question, it would just signify someone who is pretty versatile. You know, if I could give an example, let's say someone is, let's say Taurus. Right, one of the more practical earth signs, if not the practical or most earthbound of the earth signs. And we throw in an aspect, say, to that sign of Taurus, like with Uranus, for example,
mm-hmm.
right? Sun trine Uranus or sun squaring Neptune. Those two planetary influences are going to throw that, you know, Taurus characteristic almost out of the water. I mean, of course, there'll be some basic characteristics of Taurus, which is, you know, the earth sign that tends to be the most connected to the management of money.
Mm-hmm.
But when you throw in the Uranus, you're going to see a side that's more free-spirited, someone who's more unconventional. You see how that works?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, you know, you're not just limited to just the sun sign. When you have those other aspects going on, like maybe this person does, then you're going to just see some little twerks here and there to their sun sign. They're not going to be the typical or the average,
mm-hmm.
you know, of whatever that sign is. That makes sense?
Yeah, it does. Now, Teresa asked, would the sun sign be your personality?
Well, I call sun sign one's soul essence and true being. The biggest influence in the sky is the sun, so it's the biggest influence of who we are. You know, there's the rising sign. That sign is what you're projecting outwardly to the world, kind of like your mask, whatever that sign is. People may see you that way, you know, externally or
okay.
But once they get to know you more, then they're going to see your soul essence and your true being, which is your sun sign.
Mm.
That's still kind of the heart of the matter, your sun sign.
Okay.
And just to kind of give the three biggest influences, it's the sun, the moon, and the rising.
Mm. And the moon would be, well, what would the moon be?
The moon represents your more inner emotional
mm-hmm.
Personality, the side that comes out in relationships, the side that comes out at home more.
Mm-hmm. Now, she said, Teresa's saying personality is something that we put out there for others to see. That might be more the rising.
That's the rising.
Okay.
That's more the rising.
Now, some people say the sun is the core you, but then I heard you say, as well as Spiritual Pilot, that at some point you kind of expand beyond the sun sign. So
right.
If the sun sign is your core, how do you expand beyond that?
Well, when we're looking at progressions, that's one avenue that kind of explains or confirms that. The progressions are the sign that we kind of move into as we progress and evolve in our lifetime.
Okay.
So even though we come in with this kind of spiritual blueprint or a base, which is our natal chart, we do evolve and grow. And we never really leave behind that original blueprint of who we are and what our base is, but we do expand beyond it.
Mm. We expand beyond, but it's still there. It's still
there. It'll always be there. It's just that we're adding more. Could say like you're adding more ingredients to it to make it more interesting or more evolved or more interesting.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so would be my rising versus the sun. So the rising would be how people see you, right? Is that right?
Correct.
And the sun would be. What would the sun be? I forgot
your
already.
Your core essence,
it's
right?
Core.
Your soul essence, your true being.
Okay.
That's your biggest influence.
Okay, Astrology 101. Did I flunk
that's
out?
That's okay. No, you know. It's okay. We're in a Mercury retrograde, Michelle. Don't worry.
Me too. I can't talk today, Teresa. I'm like...
And for those of you who are familiar with Mercury retrograde, we're in one right now, and that's the planet that governs communications that has a way of kind of going retrograde three times a year for about 3 weeks. It follows up our communication, so our mental capacities aren't quite the same during this time. We're in one right now, so it explains all those communication challenges.
Yeah, it explains me on Wednesday not having my mic turned up. And
things like that. Any communications gadget, Mercury governs all of that. So you're excused.
Okay. It's my belief that we progress through civilization self-realization that we dissolve into God realization. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Definitely.
And then the next step after God realization is self-actualizing that. Because you can realize something, but we've got to actualize it or make it real. Yeah, so true, Kathy, this darn retrograde. Yeah, it was gotta blame it on something. Not that I forgot. Yeah. that I forgot to adjust the mic on one end. I could hear everybody. That adjustment happened. Let's see. Okay, Teresa, can she tell me my signs are for my birth info? I think we would have needed to have that sooner because we're right, Diane? Because we're kind of 5 minutes, yeah.
For the what does she want, her chart? What?
Yeah, her chart, her birth info.
That's the natal chart, which I would have to have all of her birth data, the times, the
she's got it there.
Date, birthday.
Can't do it in 5 minutes. But if you contact Diane.
I'd be happy to do it free of charge. I mean, that's easy. I can just, you know, whip it out of my computer.
Okay.
And,
so, Teresa, if you go to.
Blog Radio.
Blog Talk Radio.
blogtalkradio.com/Pisces Solutions.
Yeah, I put that in there. Yeah, unobtainable really quickly because he's is asking why is there so much interest in 2012. Well, it's 2012 and really beyond, but a lot of if you will, material or doctrine from Mayan time, actually Egyptian time, Mayan time. Edgar Cayce talked about this. It's noted in a lot of esoteric wisdom and information that there is a culmination at this time, and supposedly the end of the world. A lot of people thought the end of the world. Well, most people that are very aware and connected know that it's the end of the world as we knew it. So what we were talking about earlier, you kind of flowed into awakenings a little later. Maybe you want to listen to the archive because there's some great info on Pluto and Capricorn. You'll get a way of looking at how these changes are happening you know, in our minds, individually, as well as collectively,
yeah,
right, within the society. Do you have anything you want to add to that, Diane?
Yeah, I was going to throw in, as well as the current things that are going on in the world with our economy and the government and politics and all of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, basically, you know, it's a time of more growth and expansion. You know, we're creating this. There's a huge turning point that is being created. Light is saying a lot of people going home. Well, we are home. See, that's the thing. It's really about living more multidimensionally. This aspect of us, a lot of people, the old doctrine through the Judeo-Christian myth has said that this is, you know, being on earth is bad, or being in a body, or having a mind. We're just extending into this type of expression to experience this. We're still in our other aspects of self, our ascended states. We are the ascended masters. That's the cosmic joke. We are the light beings, the starseed beings. You know, we are the aliens everyone's been looking for. So those are just aspects of us. Yes, it does have to do with the age of Aquarius, unattainable. Yes. And that... being born. Whoa, you guys, Diane will have to come back, Spiritual Pilot, because we've got like 2 minutes remaining in the show.
Or give me a call.
Give a call. Let's give, so what's your other email? Is Pisces, I'm going to put it, Pisces Solution.
Okay. My personal email address is Pisces Solutions, plural, with an S on the end, at Verizon.net.
Okay, so you've got that. So you can email Diane there, or of course on
Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. And Pisces Solutions on that.
BlogTalkRadio.com/Pisces Solutions.
Yeah, got it. And she can answer some of this as well as whip up a chart for you if you want a mini astral reading, astral dice reading.
Yes.
Though I really love the Astro Dice because it's really pinpoint stuff. If you really need kind of a quick answer, a quick direction, it's very supportive of your path. And that's what we're here for, to share. We're all here sharing and extending out, moving from self-realization, that God realization, into actualization, making what we know internally real. You know, making, and we're doing it individually and in this small group, and our friends, our family, a society. It's extending out into the thing. So I'm getting the little 90 seconds. Got to go. Now one thing I want to mention to everyone: the comments are great. I love you guys doing the comments and the ratings. I just kind of just realized that kind of keeps awakenings in a place that a lot of people can find. Awakenings quickly and get this wonderful energy that we all are co-creating right here, and get this wonderful information that we're sharing. So please, if you can, take the time today, tomorrow, the next day, next week, whenever you feel it, to comment on the show or shows that you've listened to, rate them. But also leave your insight. I love hearing how you're making your way in the world. I love your insight and wisdom. Some of you sent me part of your blogs. Really feel blessed to be connecting with all of you. And welcome, Unattainable. Welcome everyone that stopped by today and took the time to share your light and your energy and your beingness. And Diane Lerner, thank you so much for stopping by and sharing also.
It's a pleasure. And everyone, just know that everything is in divine order, regardless of how it looks out there.
Ooh, yeah. Yeah, and remember, we're all learning, sharing, growing, teaching, and learning again. So on that note, lots of love and light, and until next time, keep awake.
Bye.